Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. You know, we're going to be talking in just a moment with Jane Mayer from The New Yorker about the dark side and the efforts the Bush administration took in the war on terror that perhaps compromised constitutional justice in the United States. Yet, biggest movie at the box office, The Dark Knight. It seems like Americans, on some level of their gut, love the idea of somebody taking justice into their own hands, even if it does represent a constitutional crisis in the Bush administration. What do you think about that? Did you go to see Batman? Does it make you feel better to know that somebody's breaking all the rules to bring the bad guys to justice? Also, sex and the church. Are these debates something from the Middle Ages, or are they inevitable debates in the 21st century? We're going to be talking about that in just a moment. You can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Also, Barack Obama's overseas. What do you think of his trip as a senator or presidential candidate? Well, from the moment he was consecrated as the first openly gay bishop in the U.S. Episcopal Church, in the U.S. Episcopal Church, Gene Robinson from New Hampshire has been at the center of a shockwave of division and disunity in that church. In the 450-year history of the Anglican, this ranks as one of the biggest crises for sure. The Anglican Communion has split from the Episcopal Church over the issue. There are further splits within the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Church. More than 800 bishops are gathered in England for the once-in-a-decade meeting called the Lambeth Conference, and the one bishop not invited, Bishop Gene Robinson. He joins us now from Canterbury, England. Bishop Johnson, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, John. It's great to be with you.
You know, it's often said that the fate of a church is more important than the fate of any individual member. I'm wondering how you feel about that right now.
You know, the church is a gift to us from God, and I think we need to stop worrying about whether we are winning or losing it. God will take care of this church as God has for a very, very long time. Jesus says time and time again, be not afraid. It's words that I think the church right now should take to heart.
You know, you've had in the years since you were consecrated in 2003, an enormous personal journey alongside the church, which has seen the consequences result in unprecedented splits and disunity. Personally, how difficult has this been for you to watch this unfold with your name in the first paragraph of every discussion and debate?
It's been a bit surreal, that kind of controversy and that kind of attention. But, you know, again, in the gospel, we're told that if we try to follow in the way of Christ, there's always going to be someone objecting to that, just as they objected to the actions and words of Jesus. So I knew it would come with the territory. And I must say that during this time, I have felt palpably close to God, and one could never regret that.
Is there some personal dimension to not being invited to Lambeth? Is there some tactical reason for doing that? Have you become a distraction?
I think that the Archbishop had it in mind that if he were to not invite me, that he might win the participation of the most conservative elements of the Anglican Communion. In fact, that did not satisfy them, and they are boycotting the conference anyway. It does seem sometimes to us that the so-called traditionalists can never quite get enough to be satisfied, and yet I'm here to witness to the joy I know in my life because of following Jesus Christ. And if that's an affront to people, then it will just have to be.
Do you think the splits that came following your consecration were inevitable and based on issues more perhaps demographic and linguistic and ethnic than sexual? And if so, how do you reach out to these groups that feel so alienated from the Mother Church?
I think this controversy actually started quite some time ago, and I would date it certainly with the American churches beginning to ordain women. The same people who were unhappy about that are unhappy about me. I also think that in terms of the international row over all of this, I think we have to understand that some of the energy behind this comes from America's place in the world right now. In many parts of the world, America is seen as a kind of drunken cowboy swaggering around the world, having its way, and everyone else be damned. And I think there were people in the communion who saw my consecration as just another example of America doing America's thing. And so it may seem like a simple controversy on the surface, but in fact beneath it are many issues.
Well, Bishop, thanks so much for joining us, and that's a very interesting sort of depiction of the complexity. I'd never really thought of it in those terms, America slash this sort of sexual issue being about our kind of swaggering reputation in the world. It's really quite interesting. Very, very quickly, you have some events scheduled in parallel to the conference. Just quickly describe what those are.
Yes, there will be two evenings in which American bishops are inviting their foreign counterparts to come and meet their brother Bishop Jean. They're not allowed to do so in the conference because I've been excluded. But my hope is to talk about my own life and my own faith in God in a way that will help those who come understand and in fact recognize that the God I know and love in my life is the same God that they know and love, and that that is what will hold us together. That's where we'll find our unity, not
right.
in disagreement about any one issue.
Well, good luck, Bishop. But thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Bishop Eugene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop consecrated in the U.S. Episcopal Church in the 450-year history of the Anglican Communion. And now headlines from Femi Okeh.
Hello there. Just coming up to 28 minutes past the hour.